Hi, and welcome to She's the Problem.
Oi, queridas.
Today, we are home.
I felt like it was never gonna happen. I'm so excited.
You know what's the sad part?
I leave tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's really, okay.
Because we're soaking it up.
This is the longest we've been home in like the last few months.
Yeah.
We have not been home for more than a day, and you have been home for 3 days. So that's pretty good.
I will say the only downside to being home is homemade coffee. I am such a coffee freak. I drink so much coffee every day, and I don't know why my hands are cursed. I cannot make a good coffee, and I do it just the same way that I see them do it at the freaking store. I think it's my machine. I think I need a machine for my birthday.
You have asked me for diamond earrings with a blue stone.
I didn't say diamond. I said dangly blue stone earrings.
Yeah, a stone. So obviously some sort of sister and cousins with the diamond. No, you asked me for something else and I forgot what it was.
Blue stone earrings, a Renaissance themed birthday party, which I'm going to organize myself.
Because you're a control freak. No, but I got
it. And then
it.
A coffee machine.
I will do that for you.
I mean, can a girl not ask for a couple things? Yeah, so anyways, I make it the exact way I see them make it at the store, and mine tastes like watered down diesel fuel.
No, Rach, I think it looks like it tastes like shit. I don't need to stir it to make it better. It's not going to be better.
It's just fucking nasty. Nasty,
that's bad.
And I'll still drink it because I need the caffeine. I mean, I'm like a little hair grew out of my back. So today we wanted to talk about all things home, the process of buying the house, moving in, and just the being a homeowner.
Girly pop. Which is honestly a blessing, but it's a curse because you have the responsibility of every single thing that goes wrong. Like there's a smell recently that's popped up and I've been avoiding it like I'm not the owner of the place. As if the smell is gonna go away and my landlord's gonna come in here and fix it for me.
So we call this the House of Sunny, and we started calling it that because as you can see, there's like a ton of window light. I mean, you can see behind us. It's literally windows everywhere, all the way around. And at one point in the day, around sunset, the entire house will fill with like orange, yellow light, which was one of the biggest selling points for why we bought it. As soon as we walked in here, and let me tell you, she was not in good condition. But it was so funny because I've been so traumatized by fixer-uppers because my mom has been flipping houses my entire life. And the last thing on earth I wanted to do was to buy a fixer-upper. I wanted something that was like already in good condition. When we walked in here, both of us looked at each other. And I remember us being like, no, this is the house. Like regardless of like whatever it's gonna take to get it or, you know, make it look better. Like this is our place, this is our home.
The process of looking for this house took us probably 6 months, would you say?
I think it was a little over that. Like we had been looking.
There was multiple homes that we saw. And we did put offers on a couple different ones and they
like
turned us down. They said, no, bitch, you can go on.
We kept being like, why is this not working? Like every house that we're offering, someone, you know, offered before us or whatever, like all the things that go wrong. And we kept getting like so disheartened about it.
Everything that you look for in Nashville, if you live here, it's like you're in a shoebox. We didn't want that. And like our old house, we lived
on the road, girl. We lived on a main road where every like time it was rush hour, you could barely get in or out of the driveway. And people got in wrecks in our front yard often. Please tell them actually about the time that you almost got that lady arrested.
I don't know what was going on with that lady.
She was on drugs.
She wasn't on drugs though. The guy told me she wasn't on drugs.
Something was wrong with her.
I'm in the living room. I think I was watering my plants. I don't know what was happening, but I remember seeing the man in the motorcycle in the air. And I was like, oh shit. And I just like run outside because I want to make sure he's okay and well. I just want to make sure the man's alive. And of course the car she hits, poor guy, was this man's family. So not only did this man get in a wreck and got flung out of his bike, his family had to watch him. And so I tell her, hey girl, are you okay? And she goes, yeah, I'm fine. She goes, by the way, is there any chance you can order me an Uber? And I said, Uber? I said, baby, you going to jail. What you mean Uber? She's like, no, please order me an Uber. My phone is not working. And I'm like, yeah, let's just wait because I think they already called the police. And now, I'm not kidding. I'm in somebody's Facebook Live helping this woman. And then they're calling, cussing her out and pointing at me. I said, uh-uh.
They rolled up hot, the guy's family. And they're like, are you with her? Are you with her? And we were like, we are not with her. And they're like, oh, what, do you live here? And I'm like,
I said, no, I'm just translating.
We were just walking by.
I said, I'm just translating to my lady to help her out. But the cop comes up to me, and she only speaks Spanish. And he goes, can you tell her to place her hands behind her back, that she has the right to remain silent? And I said, no, I cannot do that. You can go ahead. I said, in any language, we understand what it means. We get locked up. I said, go ahead and do
that. That's universal.
That's universal. Put your hands behind your back. I'm not telling this to this lady, because I'm also thinking, what if this lady thinks I got her in trouble by some odd reason? No. So she gets arrested. And I look at Rachel, I mean, and his family is hot on Facebook Live. And I said, Rach, I'm not going inside our house. I don't want nobody to know we live here. And she's like, Larissa, I'm in my jammies.
I said, girl, I have no shoes on.
I have no shoes on. Let's go for a walk. And literally, we go for a walk for like 30 minutes, because that's how people would also pull into our driveway, because they were trying to get the cars out. It truly gives you an idea. Our road was busy. Busy bee. And so looking for a new house, it was important that we found some land. I did not think we were going to settle for like 5 acres. I thought we would maybe find like one with 2 acres, an acre.
I mean, I thought after all the houses we looked at, I was like, well, I guess that's like too much to ask for. Like the prices that we were seeing, I was like, oh, I guess like we'll just get 1 acre.
And we were so defeated by the whole process, because it is a lot. If you have bought a house, if you're looking to buy a house,
it literally feels like they don't want you to buy the house. I wanted to go in the bank and be like, do y'all not want us to have the house? You don't want us to spend our money?
Literally.
Like, what's the fucking problem? Why are y'all so problematic? I'm trying to give you my money. Take my money.
I don't understand why is it so hard. So at this point, we're very discouraged. We are doing a wedding in Paris, and our realtor texts us saying, hey, this house just became available to the price range that you're looking for. It is a fixer-upper, but I think it's worth looking at. So I said, hey, okay. I show Rachel. I said, hey, it has potential. The view is pretty. Let's go see it. We get here. I think I knew it from the driveway.
No, as soon as we walked up into like the upstairs bedroom, there's a balcony. And I walked out on the balcony and you can see the lake. And it was like at sunset and the sun was just like lighting up. You could see like rows of mountains. And I was like, this is our house. Because I have always dreamed since I was a child. I want to live on a hill. I want to be able to see water. Mm-hmm. And I want big, mature trees around my house. I don't want to live in the middle of like nothing. Like I just had a very specific vision of like.
You also didn't want any neighbors close by.
Yeah, I didn't want neighbors. I wanted privacy and all those things that I was like so used to growing up. And so when I saw it, I couldn't believe that it was like even a possibility.
I agree. And so we both agreed like, hey, this is the house. I think the offer is fair. And let's see what happens. The next morning we get a call from our realtor saying they accepted the offer. But it was so weird because for me, I never felt confident that the house was ours until literally I got the key.
Oh my God, yeah, until we signed. It was such a nightmare.
It really was one of the hardest times of my life, I feel like. It was such a struggle bus to get this bitch.
It was every single thing that we could be told no about, we were. And things that we thought were for sure not. And we kept having to like rework things and do it a different way. And then it was just all the stuff they were asking for. And in the midst of all of that, we were in my busiest season. And it's not just like, oh, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's like you have to leave in the middle of the week because you have to get all the way there and then you have rehearsal dinner. So it's like, it's not just like a little easy thing that you could be here during the week and have like feet on the ground to like fix things or go sign a paper or you know, whatever.
And the bank is asking like every single day for something new. There was a moment we were sitting on a plane and I told you, like, I'm at my end. Like, if they say this is not the house, this is not the house, Rach, and you have to accept it. I tell Rachel all the time, I would do it over and over again if we got this house, because I do think this house is the perfect house for us. We love it. Our animals are truly so happy here.
And like our old house, we loved the decor on the inside. We didn't love the outside. But it just wasn't like made for hosting people. And I think that's something that brings us so much joy is like having our people over. And it has been the most fun thing in the world being able to have dinners and have your birthday party and things like that where everyone can come and stay and we have room. And it's just like a dream.
If we step into like a future with kids, this is the home that I would feel very safe and comfortable raising a kid.
100%.
It isn't the most kid friendly. If you're watching, you can see in our stairs. It's just not the safest for a child. But I always
think, baby gates, baby.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. But like, this is a home that we can bring a kid into and be very happy because there's space and there is all the good things.
Yeah, it's just so peaceful and walking around and just seeing like the land and the rolling hills. And like every day we have so many deer that run through our yard.
Which I don't fuck with them that much. I thought I would. I think deers are so cute. But with living out in the country, baby, you got a lot of critters. We have 2 raccoons that live here. We have a few kitties that are around and a lot. When I say a lot, we're talking about over 50 deers that come to our yard every day. I mean, packed to the brim. Eviction, we got to kick some of them out. And with that, they bring ticks.
You know, ticks also just exist in the woods.
Yeah, but I've never dealt with ticks before until moving here. And that's on God. I had never known ticks other than dog tick. Deer tick is a different level, girl. I am so traumatized by the ticks because we were flying one time. I noticed I have a little mole right here. And I said, oh, that's a new mole. Like, oh, it's like a little like texture to it. So then I feel it one more time. And I said, bitch, I pull it out. It's moving its little legs. I didn't even know what it was. I said, oh, God. And I flushed it. Never talked about it again because, ew, how disgusting. I'm never telling someone I found a tick on me. Walking around the streets of Paris with your mom. And I go, Rach, please. Like, my back is hurting, like, almost like something is, like, attacking me. Is there, like, a bee? What the fuck is going on in my back? She goes, oh, you just have a mole. And I remember that thought, and I said, do I? And she goes, oh, wait, that's a tick. Tell me how I found 3 more in this trip. So these bitches have been living in my body for God knows how long.
Just a couple of days. They weren't that
big. I
don't
care. I think they're disgusting, and I hate that part of being in the country.
See, I grew up on a farm, and every time we would come inside, you would get a tick check. They would do a little rundown, and then my dad would get the tweezers and light them on fire and pick them all off.
Also, I don't see the point of that because I can pull them off of my fingers.
Sometimes if you pull them off with your fingers, it leaves the head inside your body.
Don't tell me that. What the fuck is going on?
You use the tweezers to make them, it like kills them, and then they release their little hands.
That is something I will have a hard time getting used to, probably for the rest of my life.
You're a country girl now.
I'm really not. And I know there's snakes out here. There's just that.
Larissa, she gets like something in her head and she gets really obsessed with it. Like you do have like that type of personality where you're just very like locked in. She got obsessed with the ticks. And when I tell you, we had no peace in this home because she was spending $300 on Amazon to make her own at-home concoction that I've never seen her use to spray on the dogs. You used it once. You said you were going to spray it on them every day. And then we'll be dead asleep and she'll wake me up, Rich, I'm just real worried about these ticks. We need to do something about the ticks. We got to call somebody. We got to do something. I can't live like this. Can't live like this in the middle of the night.
Yeah, because I'm having this. That's called an anxiety attack. Something you should know about.
Girl, but she's so worried about these damn ticks. And I'm like, it's fine. And I'm like, babe, if there's a tick on you, we'll just get it off.
No, but it grosses me out that I'm sharing my beautiful body with a tick. Fuck no. And why are you so invasive? Like, why are you jumping on somebody else's body? Go live in the deers. Like, there's plenty of them for you to live on. That shit really irks me. I just can't do ticks. I can't do critters. And somehow I live in a farm. So that's that.
Look at all, we have all these critters.
No, but these are cute critters.
Being settled into a home is such a beautiful thing. And I feel like we are in a time in our life where everyone around us keeps telling us to slow down and we're just not ready for that. We've definitely talked about and thought about what it looks like to have kids or, you know, will we stay in one place for longer if that happens? And right now, I just don't think we have to have it figured out. I feel like we can be homeowners and have like half of our life be settled and half of it still be like young and adventuring the world.
Man, and you can also be a parent and be busy.
We have one of our best friends, Keely. She has a baby and we aspire to be like her as a mom.
She's doing it right. That baby has been on more plane rides than most.
That man just goes wherever she is. He naps wherever she is. And it's just like, I see that being our future because the world is so big and I don't want to be old and feel like I didn't see all the things I wanted to see. And that was something that I like rejected when I was younger because my parents would always tell me, like, Rach, this is the time for you to go to school and you need to study and you need to get a good job and you save. And when you're old, you go travel and you have freedom and you see the world. And I'm like, why would I want to go see the world when I'm old? I want to see it when I'm young. I don't want to be old in another country where I'm like geriatric and I can't walk up the steps. Like, what if I want to climb the Tower of Pisa? I want to do that when I'm young.
Girl, you wouldn't do that. You didn't even do that.
I wouldn't, but I want to do it. I want to have the option.
Yeah, there we go.
You know,
you want to have the option because doing it, you ain't.
Or like, what if I want to go to a club? What if I want to like ride a bike down the streets? I want to be free. I want to do my thing. So the time is now.
The baby will come with us, because if I want a baby right now, then we'll do it. It's just, it's going to adjust to us.
Speaking of babies.
Oh God. What? Girl, if you tell me you're pregnant, I'm about to slap the fuck out of you, because I know you're cheating. So why are you looking at me like you're about to announce something to me? What the hell?
I'm kidding. Anyways, I was saying, speaking of babies.
I mean, you pissed me off with that.
That's something about being a lesbian. If you were ever pregnant, it's a cheater McGee.
Yeah, you can't be excited for the person.
Anywho, I just feel like that topic in general has been something that we have wrestled with so much. Me personally, super wrestled with it. It just makes me think about this home and how much I've kind of grown in my relationship with being a mom. And it has been massive, because there was definitely a period of time that I detested the idea of having a kid. I truly think, and this may be cancel culture for me,
that's fine,
but I do think that the people that make you not want to have a kid, it is moms. There's a lot of judgment, not only judgment, but there's also just a lot of negative representation of parenthood. And I think that that probably comes from people who felt obligated to have kids, because I think that that's like a really big portion of the population. I think that there's a lot of people who grow up and they think, oh, I'm a woman and it is my like duty in life to get married and have a kid. And 100%. Everyone thinks that that's their calling, that's what they're supposed to do, and they don't have any other desires, and everyone in their life tells them that's what they're supposed to do. And I think that some of those people really didn't want to be moms. And I think that they have babies and then they almost resent it. They resent the loss of like their total autonomy, because like, yes, like we said, you know, we do know parents that still have freedom and they still have autonomy, but I think that there's some people who like genuinely to their core were made to just be solo.
I also think some people are made to be parents, and like that's their calling in life, and that's all they ever want is to be a mom, and that is enough. But to project on someone else that it isn't okay if you don't feel the same, mm-hmm. it's pretty crazy. Like, I remember waxing some of my clients and saying, I don't know if I want kids. And they're like, oh my gosh, like what? Like, it's the best feeling you will ever feel. And I said, girl, have you ever had a Krispy Kreme? Like, there's a lot of good feelings in the world.
Yeah.
It's not just being a mom. I'm sure when we do this episode 5 years down the road and we do have a little baby with us that we might feel different. But don't project that it should be everybody's calling to be a mother. If you are a woman, because some women, one, can't get pregnant. Two, not everybody's like you. You don't have to project that on them.
Well, I mean, growing up, I thought I was going to have like 10 kids. I was like, oh, I'm going to have a million kids, because I was taking care of Brooke and Clayton at that point. And I was just like, oh, this is like my purpose. Like, I'm such a like motherly figure, and like, that's what brings me so much joy and whatever. And then at some point that shifted into like a very painful place for me, where it almost turned into like the realization that that can hurt you. Like, loving something that much could like cause you pain. Mm. And you think about, as a parent, you don't have control over what happens with your kid. So it's like, there's a million opportunities for, what if your kid grows up and hates you? Or what if your kid grows up and never wants to see you again? Or what if your kid grows up and they die early, like earlier than you? It's like, there's so many painful things that can happen when you love something so much that I think it almost turned into a thing of fear for me, where I was like, oh God, I don't want to love something that much. Because then you also, I mean, obviously this is different, but I think of Arlo and I think of like watching him be a little tiny puppy and how much I like love and adore him. And then I think about, you know, he's getting old and one day he's going to die. And I think about how much that's going to like absolutely break my heart. And I'm like, oh God, is it better to have like not known him? That's the same thing I think sometimes with kids. Well, if I didn't know him, it wouldn't hurt me.
Yeah, but can you imagine 10 years of your life without him?
Well, no, but also if I didn't know him, I wouldn't know what it felt like to have him.
Yeah. No, I.
Like, is it better to have something and lose it or to not know something at all?
I think for me personally, I would rather known Pico for 10 years, mm-hmm. 5 years, than not at all.
Yeah.
Because I think there's things in life that, even though they're scary, and that's kind of who we are as people, like we still do them anyways. And obviously parenthood, we're talking about it on a...
That's like a whole other level.
Level.
That's what I'm saying, is like, if you had a kid, that doesn't compare to a dog. So then it's like, that would destroy you as a human being if something happened to your kid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God. Like,
I think that's been the topic with her for a long time that has like set you back in saying, I don't want kids.
You've kind of done a little flip on me.
I did a flip on you. I did do a flip. This is a conversation we had pretty early on in our relationship. And I knew where you stood with kids. It wasn't, you never gave me a never, but I think we're better off with no kids was kind of your thought process, because you're also dealing with a lot of childhood trauma. And another thing that you're really concerned about is you don't want to damage a child, because you know what it's like to grow up with trauma. Mm-hmm. We all do. And you knew that, like, I don't want to do that to my kids. I don't want to bring something so innocent and perfect and cause trauma on it.
Like, not me protecting my non-existent child so much that I don't have it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh God, like, I want to, like, keep it so safe. Like, the idea of, like, a little toddler's face going into the world, and then, like, they grow up, and it's just, like, you don't know what's going to happen, and you can't prevent bad things from happening.
That's hilarious.
So much so that I'm like, let me just not bring you here
at
all.
The baby's sitting there like, no, please, like, have me.
Maybe I will exist. And I'm like, no, you're safe. You're safe in here. My other biggest thing with kids is that you hear people say it changes their relationship so much. You barely spend time together and your focus is just keeping the kid alive. And I'm like, ew, I'm obsessed with her. I like don't want that. I don't want to have something that like pulls us apart. And I know that for some people it brings you closer together. Obviously that would be the like choice, but it's like, God forbid that not be the case. God forbid we like don't agree on something to an extent.
For you is all the what ifs.
It's all the what ifs. I'm so not down with the idea of tearing me and you apart, or tearing my own heart apart if the kid dies. Jesus Christ. Or you know what I mean? Like, just too many bad things can happen.
For sure. But in the same coin, if you flip it, there's all these beautiful things that could happen. And that's kind of been my dynamic with you and I, like, with the idea, because we've been very respectful of each other. And I'm like, okay, let's just talk about it. And we don't have to have it all figured out. And I feel like the more we have healed our individual child, like the child in us, it has softened you to being like, oh, I could see me being a mom. And I could see me loving a child. And for me, the reason why I'm saying I flipped on you, it's not that I don't want a kid, but I also really enjoy my life right now, just us.
Yeah.
And I am okay regardless, with or without a kid. I do not need to know motherhood to understand the meaning of life. I feel like I'm at a place in my life that I'm really content. And so I think that's why sometimes I'm like, oh, do we want a kid? But deep down, I think I will always crave the idea of what it's like to be a mother if I don't have one.
Yeah.
So does that make sense? So it's like, it's not that I've switched. I think I've gotten more patient, because I grew up in a Latino household where my parents had my sister at 19. My sister got pregnant with Clara at 21.
Yeah.
So you have to understand that I'm thinking you're supposed to have a, I'm supposed to have four kids by now. I'm 31. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm supposed to be done. Actually, this is when I'm done.
Like, how, what's your relationship with that?
So now the place I'm in, I don't talk about it very often, but I had a miscarriage in my previous relationship. And that was hard too, because then there's the fear of, can I even have a kid? Is my body healthy enough to have a kid? There's all this pain involved with having a kid for me for a while. That's what it was. And in my family, we also lost babies at a very early age. My aunt lost her two sons, one at 6 months and one is like a week old.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of pain for me involving kids. There was so much trauma that came with that.
Yeah.
That for the longest time, I thought I have to be a mother just to prove that I can, because my body failed me is what I thought. And so I almost got obsessed with the idea of being a mom. And my family, they have never pressured me with kids. I think because they watched me be in so much pain with losing a kid. My parents obviously have made comments like, when it's, you know, are you gonna have a kid? And when it's time, they have definitely asked us, but there's no pressure with the age for me.
Which is funny, because I almost like, there's so many things within our relationship where people treat us differently. And so it's funny, because it's almost refreshing. Like, even though that would be annoying to some people, it's refreshing to hear it for us, because it almost makes it feel like, you know, they're like people that treat us normal.
100%. When my parents tell me, instead of being like, please leave me alone, I'm like, oh, they view us as a couple and we're doing normal couple things. Because having a kid in America right now is terrifying, especially for two gay women. So I have that fear too. There's so much fear in having a kid that I think that's why we haven't had one yet. It's because we need to heal still some things that causes us too much fear.
Yeah.
But When the time comes, I think you will be an amazing mom.
You know, I have a thing with like vulnerability, and something about being a mom makes me feel like that would crack my heart open in a way that would be so uncomfortable for me.
Because it's too vulnerable, yeah.
Because I would just cry all the time. I swear.
I'm cry right now.
I cry just thinking about it. But I'm like thinking about, oh God, I'm literally gonna cry. So ridiculous. But I'm thinking about like their little birthday and like decorating their little room. Oh, I could die. I can't even talk about it.
So yeah, we see who's gonna be the crier in the mom situation. For sure.
I will, for sure. Or like a play. Oh, I'll lose it. I can't.
To sum it up, the world would be lucky to have a kid raised by the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we would teach our kids all the values and kindness that a human could possibly have. So in that, I do want to add positivity in the world in that way. Not that that is the only way, because I do not want to have a kid to heal anything in me. I want to have a kid to allow a kid to grow up and be a good human.
Yeah.
And I feel like that has shifted, because for a long time, I wanted to heal the miscarriage and I wanted to heal my childhood through a child. And I've realized that now the healing has to come from me and within me. And so if it happens, it can't be a surprise, because we know.
We will have to plan.
We would have to kill each other if that was the case. But we have to plan, and we do have our ducks lined up. Mm-hmm. We know the knowledge. We know how we would do the process of having a kid. And so I'm happy where we are. I'm happy in the place we are, that the possibility of having a kid is there. And whenever we're ready, we just have to press play. So that's the topic on kids and the house and where we're at. We're so grateful for this home and the memories that is yet to come. We have so many plans. It's summertime. The lake is literally across the street. Not across the street. Matter of fact, it's in our backyard. Walk down there, but I won't.
Despite them ticks.
Because there's ticks and something called jiggers? Chiggers?
Jiggers.
Jiggers. I don't know. I don't even know nothing about them, but I don't even want to mess with them because I've heard about them.
Chiggers are worse than ticks.
Exactly. So that's why I will not go down that way. So grateful that I get to do this stuff with you, sweetie.
We're just in a very happy, content place in our lives. We're enjoying the travel and seeing the world and our jobs. And I'm feeling so insanely driven with my work. But then at the same time, we come home to like this little safe haven.
Okay. So you, me, Pepper, Arlo, Pico.
And maybe at some point, another kitty.
No, I was thinking you were going to say a kid, girl. Grow up.
Pepper needs a sister.
Pepper needs kids to play with her. Two kids.
Hey.
And you know what? We talk about how we don't know about kids. Girl, we already picked them names out. We got two
we
names.
We do have their potential names.
Oh, I want to scream.
No, you for sure can't tell them.
Because no one can steal it, even though the name's already been used a million times.
And we love the idea of one of my eggs, one of her eggs, same sperm donor. And it'll just be like the cutest little thing ever.
I can imagine seeing little you and the, like a baby.
No, I'll throw up. I'm going to cry again. I can't talk
Let's
about
not
it.
Let's talk about that. Let's end it on it's the good note for me. Before you cry. We love you guys. We appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in.
Ciao, Bella. We love you.